You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Fired up. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here ready to go on this Monday. A little bit later on, we'll talk to Shaquille O'Neal. Dan Patrick, shut the hell up. He's going to be wrestling coming up on Wednesday night, so Shaq will join us. We'll check in with the Cowboys, their great reporter, Jane Slater from the NFL Network. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Phone number is 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Speaking of danpatrick.com, the DP Show newsletter available daily at 6 Eastern. Wraps up the show 3 p.m. Pacific. Enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner. We've had 8,000 new subscribers to the newsletter. Doesn't cost you anything. Mario and his crew, his team, will send out the newsletter that wraps up everything we did during the show. Also, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the Jimmy Chitwood podcast that we posted, it's on danpatrick.com. You get the newsletter, you get an opportunity to listen to that. Spent about 30 minutes with the star of Hoosiers, Maris Valanis. A lot of great stories in there about Dennis Hopper. And if you get a chance, go to danpatrick.com. Also, Gene Hackman actually teaching those basketball players how to act. But that's on danpatrick.com. We have a play of the day, stat of the day. We've got a poll question coming up as well. No important deadlines coming up this week in the NFL. Now, there is some NFL news to tell you about, and Peter King had this first. The 17-game schedule is highly likely in 2021. No surprise there. I was told by a source this morning the TV deal will probably be finalized next week, and when it is, more than likely, there will be a 17-game schedule. Now, Peter goes on to say, and he has some other items in his Good Morning Football column that he has every Monday, the league calendar gets pushed back 1 week with a likely February 13th Super Bowl in Los Angeles. So no extra bye, 17 games, 18 weekends, and the Super Bowl originally scheduled for February 6th of 2022, that'll be on NBC, has not officially been moved yet, but likely to be pushed back the day before Valentine's Day, February 13th in Los Angeles. I was also talking to a source this morning about get ready for owners to somehow find a way to combat what's going on with the player empowerment with these quarterbacks in what contracts are going to look like in the near future. They want to take away the power that these quarterbacks are somehow showcasing right under their noses. And I was told they haven't figured it out, but you can bet if the owners can find a way, they're going to shut this down. But just some of the items that I was told about the 17-game schedule, highly likely that the TV deals will probably be finalized coming up next week. As I said, no important deadlines coming up. The teams have until March 9th to decide on franchise tags and free agency. The official league will start on March 17th. The draft isn't until April 29th. So for all the talk about the quarterback movements, teams should theoretically have time to figure things out. There's still time. Get ready for the draft and also the franchise tags. Players and teams are engaged in an unprecedented public relations exercise because we always hear bits and pieces of what players want or what teams are thinking. This offseason's been crazy. Like, there's been a constant stream of reports, rumors, but both sides, like Houston and Seattle, are being forced to address uncomfortable situations here. And even if the teams don't have to make a decision, you can't just sit in silence. And if you're wondering, we did reach out to Seattle. We reached out to Pete Carroll to see if he would like to talk about Russell Wilson. Not that he wants to, but Fritzy made the call. We didn't get a hard no from the Seahawks, but if Pete Carroll decides that he'd like to join us or their general manager, John Schneider, we would welcome them with open arms. We don't play sides here. We'll hear the Seahawks side and Russell's side down the road as well. But, you know, we love this information, the possibility. We always love the possibility of something happen. It's called wishful reporting. I talk about it all the time. You want something to happen, you know, because a lot of times we'll talk about it and you'll go, yeah, nothing came to fruition. It's like trade deadlines. oh, the trade deadline, this guy's available, that guy could be available. And then the trade deadline comes about, and then nobody's moved. But with what's going on with Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, it feels like something's going to happen. And if one thing happens, that could lead to a domino effect. But you start to figure out what's going on with the Saints with Drew Brees. We were told, Jay Glazer, this was a month ago, Drew Brees retiring. Ian Rappaport joined us last week, Drew Brees retiring. There's a zero chance Drew Brees is going to come back and play. And now, the more I thought about it, I went, okay, if I'm Drew Brees, he probably says, gosh, I got so banged up. I got all these broken ribs. I was hurt. And we almost beat the Buccaneers. We're not that far off. We still have a good team. And if I'm the Saints, I go, well, Drew Brees isn't going to cost me that much if he comes back. Do I want Drew Brees? And then Drew Brees' trainer posted a video of Drew Brees working out. I don't know what that means. It could be just fun. They could be tweaking us a little bit. Drew Brees is technically not retired. And I wonder, because I've been around a lot of athletes in 40 years, Drew Brees is on the short list of the most competitive people I have ever met. Not just football. I've played golf with him. So much so, when I played in a celebrity golf event in Tahoe, I had had back-to-back birdies, and I'm lined up for a third. Drew Brees walks by me as I'm ready to putt, going, I can't bleepin' believe you could have three birdies in a row. And then I missed the putt. He missed a putt on the 18th green, and I was with Ben Roethlisberger. Drew walked off the green after he made his putt for a par, did not shake our hands, went to the scorer's tent, and Brees went in there, and then Roethlisberger says, well, I guess I'll shake your hand twice for the quarterbacks in the group. So Drew Brees isn't going to go quietly into the night just because he has a TV deal. This is a guy who played with broken ribs. 11. Who knew you had 11? McLovin and Fritzy did. Back row went to class. I didn't. I've had ribs before. Texas ribs. That's why I don't know what's happening with Drew Brees. But I will say, with what happened with Russell Wilson, all four of the cities that he mentioned, Dallas, Chicago, New Orleans, the Raiders, it was like a coverage bomb was detonated. Nobody's talking about what's going on with the current quarterbacking situation. Everybody wants to talk about the possibility of Russell Wilson. In New Orleans, the New Orleans mayor trying to reach out and welcome Russell Wilson to town. Drew Brees hasn't retired yet. Dallas. Well, does Dallas want him? Hey, what would it take to get him? Hey, would we take him instead of Dak Prescott? The Raiders. It always feels like they're half in and half out with Derek Carr. And then the Chicago Bears? Sure, come on down. But that's what's interesting that's going on right now, the player empowerment here with these quarterbacks who are sort of dictating a game of musical chairs. I don't know if Russ is going to get traded. I thought after the following season would be his last year in Seattle. I have no information on that other than a gut feeling and look at the numbers. Dak Prescott, do you want him? I get the feeling that Seattle views Russell Wilson almost the way Dallas views Dak. We're not quite sure. Because if they were sure in Dallas, they would have signed Dak up almost 2 years ago and got a bargain. Seattle sort of lets Russ cook, but they don't want to. Do they take him for granted? We want to run the ball. Well, you don't have Marshawn Lynch anymore. Oh, we want to play great defense. You don't have the Legion of Boom anymore. Russ, it's 13-9. We're trailing fourth quarter. Can you help us win another game? All right. I never felt like Seattle was all in on Russell Wilson, on letting him cook. And Dallas, with Dak Prescott, Yeah, but he wasn't a first-round pick. I don't know. Yeah, he had a good offensive line. Hey, Zeke, and hey, yeah, he's got some weapons in there. We're not quite sure. Now you look at the mess that they're in. Now you got to pay him $37 million. And if you bring him back with a franchise tag after that, it's $52 million. You could have had him almost 2 years ago for a bargain. But something's happening. And here's another thing. Houston Chronicle's John McClain wrote a strong column saying it's time for the Texans to listen to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. There are a lot of columnists who might say something like this in a situation like this. When John McClain says something like this, I listen. I think John McClain is as dialed in as any columnist in America with their team. He was there before the Texans were there. And if John McClain says, now's the time to start listening for offers, I think the Texans are going to start listening for offers. All right, McLovin, you got a poll question for me.
Oh, man, there's so many QB questions here. The one I was excited about before the show is, who would you rather have, Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, with the possibility that the Cowboys tag Dak Prescott and then they're allowed to trade him to Seattle?
Do we know if that's possible?
Yeah, I was just looking up. Schefter had said that if they tag him and he accepts the tag, they can trade him. But Dak, because of the status of the tag, has, in effect, a no-trade clause, according to Schefter. So basically, he has to agree to it.
Oh, okay.
But they can do sort of a sign-and-trade thing as long as he signs a franchise tag.
So wishful trade rumors.
They're the best. Yeah.
And if you involve the Cowboys, then it's just like, give me the clicks.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was told this morning. Just because we look at Russell Wilson's contract now with 3 years left doesn't mean Russ is not going to say to his new employer, I want to renegotiate. New team, new deal. You might look at Russ and go, we're getting a Super Bowl, we're getting a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we're going to get him at a bargain. And Matthew Stafford said he wasn't going to renegotiate his contract with the Rams. I don't know. From what I'm told, new team, new deal, Russell Wilson Jr. III. If I'm Dallas, I just don't know how they feel about Dak. I have a sense of how they feel about Dak. Jerry Jones tells you everything you want to hear. We love Dak. He's a leader. He's okay. But you didn't sign him, and then you didn't sign him. And now, where are we going? Franchise tagville. If I'm Dallas and I get Russell Wilson at his current deal, then yes, I would strongly consider that. It's $75 million over 3 years. It's a bargain. Dak's going to cost me more than that the next 2 years, 37 and 52. But then I'm giving up draft picks to get Russell Wilson. Game on the line. Who do you want?
Hot.
It's not that hot. It's Russell Wilson. He's proven that. But Dak Prescott at 27. Russ is 32, going to be 33 during the season. I think Russ stays in Seattle. Dak stays in Dallas. And I think Deshaun Watson is eventually going to get traded. Because I think the Texans are going to go, what makes the most sense for us right now and in the future? Do we hold on to him for dear life and then, you know, he sits out? If he comes back begrudgingly? You just don't want a James Harden situation where James Harden got out there on the floor and mailed it in. He quit on the Rockets because he wanted out. Not that Deshaun would do that, but James Harden got out because of that. But if I'm the Texans and you're at the point of no return, put it out there. Open market. Have a for sale sign. Because now is when you need to get the Jets and the Dolphins competing with each other. Those are the two teams, I'm told. If I can get them to compete with each other, now I can get you know, a windfall of picks and players. Maybe I get Tua. Or maybe I get Sam Darnold. Maybe that's the Band-Aid quarterback that I have right now. But if I am, I would absolutely trade with the Jets because the Jets aren't going to be good for a little while. Dolphins, even if they lose Tua in the number three overall pick, I still feel like Miami is a playoff caliber team. You want to trade with somebody who is not going to be good so you can get their draft pick. I mean, the Dolphins got the Texans draft pick at number three overall. But if you said right now, what do I think is happening? Dak stays in Dallas. Russell Wilson is going to stay in Seattle. But I do think that Deshaun Watson and the Texans will eventually have a divorce. Yeah, Paul.
I was reading the New Orleans coverage this week, and it's fascinating because they have the possibility of Russell Wilson, the possibility of Breeze coming back, Jameis Winston kind of sitting there in no man's land because they didn't pay him last year, but he's kind of on their roster. And they have Taysom Hill completely under contract, and they used him at quarterback this year. So it's a fascinating situation. They got four options for one spot.
And I was given information, I guess it was last week, maybe it was the week before, I lost track, about these specific teams that Russell Wilson pointed out. Four teams. Like, what agent says to Adam Schefter publicly, this isn't a sources close to me, this is who I got it from. I mean, that doesn't happen. Not off the record. That doesn't happen. And I was told that these were teams that had already been pre-identified by Russell Wilson and his agent. But Fritzy checked in with Mike Florio, and Florio said that he had not heard about a specific list of four teams, but that the Cowboys were on his radar screen. But an agent specifically identifying four teams on the record. It's not a question of if, but when, with Russell Wilson. And if I'm Seattle, does Russ, is he too big for this team? Like, is he a celebrity? Is he a star? Is he more than just a quarterback? Like, you start to wonder what Seattle's side of the equation is here. And that would concern me because Pete Carroll wants and has total autonomy. And you don't want Russell Wilson coming in saying, this is what I think we should be doing. Although I would listen to Russ because Russ is the guy that you, with your game plan, force him to win games for you late in the fourth quarter. Yeah, McLovin.
I noticed one thing in that Athletic article that there's still tension that Pete Carroll wants to run the ball all the time.
Yes.
Is that kind of underlying this whole situation still?
Yes. And Pete, that's who he is. Pete wants to run the football, play defense. Well, they don't run it the way they used to with Marshawn Lynch, and they don't play defense the way they did with the Legion of Boom. The one constant is you still have Russell Wilson there. But I've never gotten the feeling that they're totally confident with Russell Wilson running the offense. And there are other quarterbacks with less stature who are given more freedom, it feels like, to run their offense. And that's what's dangerous. This program brought to you by Built Bar. 16 grams of protein, low calories, low carbs. And this doesn't taste like sawdust. It tastes great. It's like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP20, 20% off your first order. We'll come back, settle on poll question. Phone call is always welcome, as we do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We'll talk to the great reporter for the NFL Network, Jane Slater, about the possibility of Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson exchanging positions there.
Wait, are you putting Zach Wilson in this scenario too?
Is that what that? Okay. My bad. Zach and Dak. My bad. And Shaq. Shaq is coming up in the final hour of the show. Take a break here. 20 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I went back into my office over the weekend and I noticed that I had an unopened Built Bar box there. And I decided that I was going to be philanthropic. I was going to be charitable. I brought it out there. It's in the mailroom. You guys, if you would like to have a Built Bar today, and sometimes you want to have that instead of a meal, but it's out there. The salted caramel flavor Built Bar is out there. I made sure there are a couple of those for Todd. There's also mint brownie. There's cookies and cream. There's coconut. And the reason why I sound this way is because I told the Danettes about it, and then nobody had anything. They didn't want anything. And they were like, oh, no, you know, it's if you're going to get in shape, and they don't want to get in shape. Next thing I know, I go out there. I go, where's the Built Bar? They're all gone. Yeah, Paul.
Well, it's much easier to eat those than to work out.
That is true. That is true. Check out all the delicious favors. BuiltBar.com. Promo code DP20. 20% off. That's BuiltBar.com. Promo code DP20. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Come up with a poll question. We'll check in with Jane Slater, NFL Network reporter. She has some interesting information on why a Dallas deal for Russell Wilson would have a major obstacle. By the way, a friend of the show had a hole-in-one yesterday. You guys want to play Who Had the Hole-in-One? Fritzy, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish, McLovin.
I think Jim Nantz, who lost to me in the backyard golf tournament last time we were
here. Hello, friends. Seton O'Connor.
I'm going to say the great Al Michaels.
The great Al Michaels. Not a great golfer, though.
Oh.
Paulie.
He mentioned he was getting back into golf last week, Adam Sandler.
Ding, 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 ding. Adam Sandler had a hole-in-one yesterday. And he seemed a little embarrassed because I said, somebody is ready for Shooter McGavin here. And he said, yeah, starting to get a little bit better, a little more into golf here. But Sandman had a hole-in-one yesterday. Poll question, then I got to get to Jane Slater. She's very busy today.
Okay, you didn't say I couldn't do it, so I'm going to put it up. Who would you rather have, Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson?
Well, what team?
The Cowboys and the Seahawks. You're the Cowboys. And you could, let's say hypothetically, you could do this trade. This isn't, this is close to be reality.
No, this is just clicks.
No. Mark Rogers called Adam Schefter and said to the Cowboys.
Why are you yelling at me?
Because this is not clicks.
All right. Let me bring in Jane Slater. She doesn't deal with clicks. She is clicks. NFL Network reporter. You can follow her on Twitter at SlaterNFL. All right, Jane, separate fact from fiction here. Can you?
I'm with you, Dan. And you know how this works. You've been doing covering the league long enough. You've been keeping an eye on the Cowboys long enough. Anytime you put the Dallas Cowboys in a headline, people are going to talk about it. And so we're talking about this because a report came out from Adam Schefter that he would entertain a trade if it was Dallas and the Cowboys. So, of course, now it's the offseason. We haven't heard a lot about this Dak contract. So now everyone's talking about it. But when I reached out to one of my team sources, they found it laughable. And that's because they are still trying to truly get this long-term deal done. And we're looking at the tag being somewhere around $37.7 million. We are going to probably hear something about that closer to that tag deadline of March 9th. And then they're going to have to clear some cap space by March 17th to start really effectively having those long-term discussions. And then they, of course, shut this thing down in June. I don't think he's heading for a third tag. They can still do that. That third tag is going to be somewhere in the market of $54 million, which is absurd. They could, of course, give him the non-exclusive tag. That gives them 5 days to match an offer from another team and then possibly pick up two first-round compensatory picks. But the goal here is still to get him signed to a long-term deal. And why would they continue using these costly tags on him if they didn't feel like he was their franchise guy. And oh, by the way, last year's money was in the ballpark of Russell Wilson slash Jared Goff type money. Now he's looking to be paid right behind Patrick Mahomes, a guy who's gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. Dak hasn't done that yet. So they feel like it's been a respectable offer. His camp believes that he needs to bear what the market value is. And they feel like this deal should have gotten done 2 years ago. So your problems with money aren't our problems. It's about respect. So there still is no change from last year and years past, Dan. There has to be some give by both sides in order to get this done. But I truly feel like they want to get it done. And as I was told by a team source, it feels, and their tone kind of went up a little bit more productive. But there still haven't been a lot of meaningful conversations.
Why do you think Russell Wilson's agent named teams?
Well, for the reasons we just outlined there earlier, I think you name teams, the Saints, for instance, that sounds like a great destination for a guy like Russell Wilson. But when those teams consider it or they pick up the phone, their next question is, well, how much is this going to cost us? And I keep bringing up Seattle versus Dallas because Seattle's front office has made a lot of potential trades very costly for Dallas. And I mentioned Earl Thomas last week. I mentioned Jamal Adams. Now, he was, of course, with the Jets. Cowboys, in good faith, tried to go after him. Seattle jumped in and said, we'll pay you what you want. Then I was told that the Seahawks wanted Aldon Smith last year. The Cowboys in that experiment wasn't exactly working at times last year. There was a disruption in the pH balance with some of the free agents. Could have gotten rid of him then. Their answer was no. In other words, they're going to either re-sign him or they'll find a way to move him off the books and they get a compensatory pick. But because it was Seattle, the deal didn't get done.
Ooh. Well, you also have Russell Wilson, the $39 million cap hit.
Yes.
I don't think Russ is – it's weird. It feels like Russ and his agent want it both ways. Hey, we want to stay in Seattle, but if you want to trade us, here are the four teams that we're going to go to. But I do think the cap hit is really important, Jane.
I love that you bring that up because a lot of people love to come up with these. I'll borrow a phrase from Mike McCarthy last year. You know, some of you guys are playing fantasy football, you know, as it related to what he would do with his offensive line. I'll do that as it relates to Russell Wilson and whatever team, whether it be Dallas or another, trading for him. Seattle also is on the hook for his guaranteed money. So Seattle's going to be okay giving him the guaranteed money and especially go and win in another NFC with another NFC team that we're going to have to play a couple years down the line. Now, look, could the Cowboys sweeten the deal and say, all right, we're going to convince Dak to sign the franchise tag, which again is just crazy to me. We'll convince him to sign the franchise tag and then we're going to get his approval to trade him. But we're also probably going to have to give up some other things that comes with Dak. So it's asset heavy to move Russell Wilson off the books. I think this is a missive. I think this is a way of saying Pete Carroll, get on the same page with Russ, either let Russ cook, find a way that you guys can make this offense work. But when you bring up Dallas, could it happen with another team? Absolutely. Sure. We've seen these sort of trades happen. We've certainly seen Jared Goff go to Detroit and Matt Stafford come to LA. These things happen. Just specifically with the Cowboys and people I've spoken to and the way the money bears out, it just absolutely makes no sense. And a lot of people I love coming at me on Twitter and wanting to tell me ways that they've figured out it can happen. I'm telling you, it can't happen.
We're talking to Jane Slater, NFL Network reporter. Help me understand Drew Brees' situation with New Orleans. Of what is he waiting for to make his announcement one way or another?
Great question. Because if you'll recall, last year, we were sitting here having the same. I feel like it's sort of Groundhog Day for me as it relates to the two teams that I cover and the quarterbacks. Last year, we kept waiting. When is the Drew Brees announcement? And of course, he ended up coming back, even though NBC was waiting in the wings. And I can tell you, this is 1000% accurate. Tom Brady was on his way to New Orleans. So, of course, all of us can talk about the hypotheticals that would have applied to the Saints if Tom Brady had come over and him and Sean Payton had gotten in the lab together, what they could have been capable of. I reached out to the Saints last week and I said, any chance? We saw Drew Brees kind of give that final look as he's leaving the dome. I covered that game. It was deflating. It was heartbreaking to watch him throwing a touchdown pass to Brees' son and Brittany Brees and the kids there on the field with Tom Brady and the tears coming down his face on the bench and not even getting a hero send off. It felt more like a funeral. And so you think to yourself, does he pull a Ben Roethlisberger and come back next year and get the hero send-off that he deserves for what he and Sean have done for that city collectively? I was told no. He is retiring. He's just taking his time, you know, making this decision. And keep in mind, interesting sidebar, last week, of course, Tiger Woods was on his way to see Drew Brees and Justin Herbert. It was my understanding Tiger was doing some sort of work for Golf Tour TV. And so he's supposed to interview Drew. So maybe Drew read the room and felt like this wasn't the time either. But in talking to people with that organization, how we handle it moving forward in terms of media, my sense is that it's coming pretty soon here.
Do you think Brady would have preferred the Saints over the Buccaneers?
It's a good question. I mean, Sean Payton is a different coach than Bruce Arians. It kind of feels like Jimmy Johnson versus Barry Switzer, again, to kind of compare the two coaches. And then you've got Troy Aikman, of course, being Tom Brady in the scenario. It's hard to say. I know that Tom Brady and Sean Payton's work ethic probably would have matched. I think their intensity would have matched. But Bruce's approach sort of, it's sort of this hands-off. I don't know if you've ever dealt with this in your career. It's kind of like the person who's sort of hands-off makes you feel like they're not as invested or as hands-on, and it sort of motivates you a little bit more. We sort of saw the subtlety of that with Bruce Arians calling out Tom publicly earlier in the year. And so I don't know. And I also think just for, you know, just happiness in terms of living close to the beach there in Florida and the life that he and Giselle and the kids have, which is why they sort of left New England. You know, they wanted a change of pace. I think from a personal standpoint, probably the work-life balance is a little bit better for him in Florida. But again, that's just me thinking out loud.
I brought this up about 15 minutes ago. The Houston Chronicle's John McClain wrote a strong column saying it's time for the Texans to listen to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. That got my attention. Because we know John is as dialed in with the team as much as any reporter, columnist is in with any team in America, in my opinion. If you had a bet a week's pay, is Deshaun Watson with the Texans starting this season?
Doesn't feel like it. You know, I've talked to some people that have been involved with that coaching search and how that went down. There is a real funny dynamic as it relates to Easterby, McNair, Nick Casario, I think, kind of got thrown into this unlikely partnership. And I feel like he's trying to right the ship. He's trying to give it a little bit of stability. But of course, when J.J. Watt leaves, you know, then you had the VP of Communications, Amy Palsik. She's out the door too. Bill O'Brien, of course, you could say what you wanted about Bill, but a lot of people liked Bill in that building. I think he just probably took on too many titles. He should have just focused on the coaching as opposed to GM. But with your star quarterback being this disgruntled, that then I think becomes a cancer in the locker room. It starts to spread. It starts to permeate. I think he's playing hardball, and I think ultimately he's going to end up. I mean, I look back to the Jamal Adams situation. Remember, he did not want to be with the Jets. And I don't think the NFL is a lot like the NBA that a star can necessarily demand a trade. But we are seeing a lot of people becoming a little bit more successful with this in years past. But I just feel like that's a situation that is broken. And in order for Houston to sort of turn the page and have the success that they're looking for, meaningful success, they're probably going to have to do that with somebody else that's going to come in there and buy in to what that system is down there. But it doesn't feel like Deshaun's going to be the guy to do it.
And I always find the situation fascinating when somebody wants out of a place and then they go to another place and they look around and they go, wait a minute, we don't have anybody here. We gave up our draft picks. We gave up our best defensive player. If Deshaun Watson goes to the Jets, you're going to be giving up your draft picks, you're going to give up some talent. If you go to Miami, it's going to be the same thing. He doesn't have any talent in Houston. And it feels like it's a lateral move. Now, you know, maybe he'll like that owner more than he likes the owner or the front office a little bit more. But to me, it seems kind of crazy that the more valuable you are, the more capital you bring in return. And you're going to be, it's going to be a lateral move. It's two steps forward, two steps back.
That's a great point. A lot of people don't think about the things that you have to put around a quarterback in order to be successful. That's why a lot of the quarterbacks that are successful are on that first contract, because you're able to put the pieces around them, which is, again, going back to the Cowboy application, when Dak Prescott was making in the $400,000 range, sure, it was easy to, you know, pay your running back and your wide receivers and your offensive linemen and defensive players. But when you start talking about you're eating up 20, 30% of the cap, it's really, really hard to put those pieces around you in order to be meaningful. The reason why Tom Brady was so successful for so long in New England is he always joked that Giselle made a lot of the money, so he was able to give him a hometown discount. Now, to be fair, a lot of quarterbacks can't do that. But to your point, I think when these guys want to go to other teams and it costs them picks in order for them to restock the kitchen cabinet, it is very, very hard for you to find meaningful success.
Before I let you go, do you want to play the J.J. Watt game of where you think he'll end up?
Oh, good question. I love seeing how a lot of these teams have been lobbying for them. I will tell you, it will absolutely not be Dallas, so that's easy. Who are some of the other ones that you want to throw at me?
Well, I'm going to take Green Bay off because I don't think that takes any real risk or any great insight to go, boy, he could go back to Wisconsin where he played his college ball. I'm going to give you Buffalo, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Buffalo and Tennessee, the most intriguing to me. I really think Buffalo would be, I became such a fan of the Bills last year and what they're building there. And it was a slow and patient process, but it feels like it's got a really healthy, vibrant locker room. But I also think if you've ever seen Mike Vrabel at a pro day, I saw him, it was, God, Ed Oliver down at Houston, and he did a bull in the ring with the guy. As a defensive player, you've got to love a guy like Mike Vrabel.
Wait, they were hitting each other?
Yes, Mike Vrabel was 1,000% participating in a bull in a ring exercise. It was amazing, and he's a true player's coach. The guys love Mike Vrabel. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Bus and the Boys and Taylor Lewan and Will Compton's podcast. He'll get in the bus with the guys, and I could see Tennessee, if I had to pick right now, if Tennessee can figure out a way to get it done, that would be an outstanding destination for him. And kind of what an interesting send-off that you go to a team that used to be the Houston Oilers. Ooh. In essence. So okay. There's sort of a pettiness there. So I think that would be intriguing.
Jane, great work. Always great to talk to you. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
You as well. Tell the Danettes hi.
Jane Slater, NFL Network reporter. Jane says hi to you guys.
That's nice.
Okay.
Hi, Jane.
I just want to make sure that I pass on the message because I normally don't. In case you guys were listening, Jane said hello. Todd doesn't listen when Jane comes on. He just watches.
Okay.
All right. Play of the Day is up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We have a Play of the Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Play of the Day. I forgot.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to hit that.
Yeah.
Ready?
Set.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called Play of the Day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Malik Monk darts inside. Got fouled! Score it! A diddly D! A free throw for the win!
Wow! Are you kidding me?
Maybe a little too fired up after a win over the Kings, but that's just me. That's just me.
Was that the NBA Finals?
That counts! I want a free throw! Thelonious Monk! Are you kidding me? Fox Sports Carolina's Malik Monk joins Del Curry as the only players in franchise history to score 20 or more points off the bench in four straight games. That's your Play of the Day. Play of the Day is brought to you by M-Drive. Get the supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Help me get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. I was watching the Clippers and the Bucks yesterday. And, you know, just sort of take an inventory of both of these teams. Because I don't know where they are now as opposed to where they're going to be in, I don't know, 3 months. But I did watch Paul George. And Paul George is having a great year. And rightfully so. He's an all-star. He's, you know, getting 23 points a game. Shooting 51 from the field. 47 from three. 89 from the line. But he was asked about the disparity between the Bucks and the Clippers yesterday shooting free throws. And Paul George said, that's more of a league question. Well, you know, part of the problem is they don't get to the rim. They don't, they shoot jumpers. The Lakers are ninth in free throw attempts because they are ninth in attempts within 5 feet of the rim. This might be lost on a new generation. If you get to the hoop, there's a chance you might get fouled, or there's a better chance that you might get fouled. Like, the Clippers are one of the lowest shooting free throw shooting teams as far as volume because they don't get to the hoop. The Lakers get to the hoop. You know, we talk about the Greek Freak. He gets to the hoop. The Nets with James Harden gets to the basket. That's where you get free throws. It's not a league issue here for Paul George. If I'm Paul George, I don't have any more excuses the rest of the regular season. None. Just play. Because you're having a good regular season. People want to know if you're truly playoff P. Is that a positive or a negative moniker? Yeah, Paul.
Here's a stat for you. The Clippers, who attempt not a lot of free throws, they're the best free throw shooting team in the entire league. They're shooting 84% as a team.
Mm.
The worst shooting team in the league, free throws, your Sacramento Kings, Dan, 71%.
Yeah. Well, you make the free throws, but you need to make more free throws.
By the way, here's a nuance. The Milwaukee Bucks are fourth from the bottom in free throw shooting percentage as a team, 73%. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think, gosh, if you take out Chris Middleton, I think Chris Middleton's like a 90% free throw shooter. Lonzo Ball, or LaMelo Ball had another great game. He's the real deal. Bandwagon's full, folks. Close the doors. We're set to depart. I'm taking my balls and I'm going home. Well, I'll take LaMelo. You can have all the other balls. I don't want them. LaMelo Ball's real deal. As Draymond Green said, while watching that game, he wasn't even playing against LaMelo Ball. He said he's a problem. And he is. He gets to the hoop. And I think, you know, I can't give – if I gave the Warriors a do-over, because I thought if I have him there – I got a guy who will pass the ball. And I thought with Klay Thompson, they were going to be competing for a championship this year. I thought Steph Curry would be the MVP. They would compete for a championship. Klay goes down. James Wiseman has been a nice rookie, but LaMelo Ball, he's different. LaMelo is more for today's NBA. And maybe Wiseman becomes that, you know, stretch four, shoot threes, you know, block shots, get to the rim. He might be a great player, or he might just be DeAndre Ayton. Maybe that's his ceiling, which is still good. But if you're Golden State, you don't have the second pick overall very often. Certainly not in Steph Curry's lifetime. And I think LaMelo Ball, and maybe people were scared away by his dad, and I certainly understand that. But the first time I watched him was when he was a freshman in high school. And that frame, you knew he was going to get bigger. And I thought that he was exceptional as a freshman. Had great court awareness, and then he had no game awareness. He would shoot crazy shots. And that's what really concerned me. I didn't know how well he knew the game. I knew he could pass. I knew he could be a matchup problem. And he could get to the hoop. His shot is a little low, but he's making it. He's shooting over 40% from three-point range. He's been a pleasant surprise. Yeah, Paul.
LaMelo is leading all rookies in points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah. When's the last time that happened?
Magic? I don't know if he got rebounds, though. I had to check.
Well, Luka probably led all rookies in points, rebounds, and assists, I'm guessing. All right. Coming up next hour, we'll check in with the New Orleans Saints. Are we sure Drew Brees is retiring? And then Shaquille O'Neal will join us coming up, final hour of the show. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Dan Patrick Show. But wait, there's one more item. First hour, Simply Safe Home Security. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in at your home again. That's right. That's how quick and easy it is to set up a security system from Simply Safe Home Security. It's the kind of thing that's so easy, you can do it. Let's say you're doing a Netflix binge or watching a game, listening to a certain radio show. Da-da-da. Simply Safe is an incredible, easy way to set up a customized security system for your home. You go to simplysafedan.com, choose what you want, and then it's shipped right to you. You don't have to have a technician. Don't have to have an electrician come in. You set it up in 30 minutes or less. And after that, you let SimpliSafe take over. You're going to be monitored 24/7. Go to simplysafedan.com, customize your system, and you get a free security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so nothing to lose except for everything in your house. That's simplysafedan.com.